All right, everybody, welcome back to the Good All Hockey Podcast. This is episode number 52. I hope everyone listening or watching had a great holiday week, Christmas week, whatever you celebrate, don't care. And you're watching this on New Year. So this is New Year, New Us. New Year, New Good All Hockey Podcast. I forgot to text you. I was going to text you that we should have done New Year's resolutions for each team as part of it, which maybe at the end, if we have enough time, we could kind of fire off some random ones for some teams, but that we see. But yeah, new year 2025. I'm almost 25 by the time you're listening to this, which is crazy, weird to feel. But Alan, how was your week? How was Christmas? How was how was it?
My week was great, right? I was back in the Bay. Yep. I got to visit a bunch of family, friends who I haven't seen in 2 years, damn near. Yeah. Super cool. Grandma came into town. She's from Texas. So it was pretty good to see her. I saw her over Thanksgiving too, but it was all nice. Super good. Fun time.
Nice. Yeah.
What about you?
It was good. Had a good Christmas. Got some nice clothes, stuff like that. Good time hanging out with the family. Saw one of my buddies, he had a kid recently, so weird to see that. I'll tell you, like, I've known you for 10 years, Alan, and like, if I saw you with a kid, like, it was just so, we're at an age now where like you see people that you grew up with or like, you know, were young and dumb with, and then you see them holding a baby, giving them like milk, and you're just like, it just like is so, it's just weird. I don't know how to explain it, but it's just
one of my best friends is getting married in August.
Yeah.
And
that's weird too.
That's a weird one. If you do, well, you know, the guy Spencer, am I breaking news to you right now?
Whoa.
Wait, story for another time.
Spencer Tatum is getting married.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, everyone. What? Okay. We'll talk about it after.
I thought I told you.
Oh my God. What? I mean, like he's not someone that would, you know. What? Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. That's how I feel about that. It's like you think about it, you're like, whoa, this guy's gonna start a family soon. That's insane. I just find it crazy. You get to that point where it's like got friends getting married, friends having kids, and it's like, what?
Yeah. But and then I'm out here, we're like out here doing nothing. Not nothing. we have moves going on, but yeah, to put like lives into perspective is just crazy at this age. So if you're young and watching it, it'll hit you. If you're old and watching it, you probably are laughing at us because you've went through this. But this week on the episode, we're gonna talk about the Winter Classic first, which by the time you're watching this, it's already been happening. We're just gonna rant for a little bit because I'm a little annoyed, but we've got a lot of outside the NHL news for most part of the episode. And then at the end, we're going to talk about the Calder race because it's still heating up and our unbiased thoughts on who should win that Calder race.
Completely unbiased.
Yeah, completely unbiased. But first things first was this Winter Classic. First of all, the start time. Last year, I want to say it was on January 2nd for whatever reason. Usually it's always played on New Year's Day from what I remember. Now, I know college football and the playoffs start on that day, or I guess on the day before too, but everything, I don't know. I don't like that it's being played on New Year's Eve at 3 p.m. Mountain Time, which, mind you, 5 p.m. Eastern, which is still just whack. Again, I know they're probably competing for viewership, but to put it on at 5 p.m. Eastern when people are getting off of work, not everyone has the 31st off. Almost everyone usually has New Year's Day off. I don't know. It's just weird. I'm not a big fan. I don't even know if I can watch it tomorrow. And frankly, I don't really know if I want to watch two bottom-of-the-barrel teams go at it. I get Chicago, Connor Bedard, all of his hype last year, and safe to say he is not – he's having a sophomore – well, we've talked about this a lot with his sophomore slump, but – yeah, I just don't get it. The Winter Classic was always a really cool thing. and we're supposedly in the golden age of hockey, and I don't remember a good Winter Classic, honestly, since before 2015.
I'm going to be beating a dead horse here. I think everybody and their mother has said this at some point, but it's the same like six teams that plays in the Winter Classic or at least one of the outdoor games every year. And to be fair to those, it's like eight or nine teams, right? To be fair to those eight or nine teams, it's pretty much all the original six teams, teams with the bigger fan bases, right?
Yeah.
But there are teams, the Avalanche have played one, I think they played one outdoor game, or no, they played two. They played one in Tahoe, and then I think they played one against like the Ducks or something stupid.
That was a stadium series though, right?
That was a stadium series game though.
Yeah, those are
different. And it's like, why don't you give good teams like actually entertaining hockey? Because it's like,
yeah,
I thought the whole point of the Winter Classic, right? You have party New Year's Eve, right? And then New Year's Day is like a chill hangout day, sit around. Most people or a lot of people don't work, right? Yeah. So you get the viewership in that way. You get to watch some hockey in a cool stage, right? Which is, it's awesome watching an outdoor game. That's like every kid's dream.
Yeah.
But you have the same six teams, seven teams that are playing in every goddamn year. How many outdoor games has Chicago played?
I want to say like three or four now, probably.
I get it.
Probably more.
I think so. I'm not going to go through this. I know they played against Detroit.
I get it with when they had like Kane and Taves. And they were a good team. And like now, yeah, Connor Bedard is a phenom, but that team sucks. And I'm not saying that I would want
NHL.
Yeah. I'm not saying that I'd want a Sharks outdoor game. We already had ours and that was kind of a bummer, but
you know, it was just a shitty game. I went to that. Yeah. Were you there for that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, that game sucked. Levi? I don't know if you remember. It was like, maybe it was just because I was, you know, still living in California. San Jose doesn't really get colder than 65 degrees. But was I was freezing during that game.
Yeah, it was like maybe like 45.
And the Sharks lost. I think it was 2-1. Boring game.
Boring game. They scored one goal. I remember that. But I mean, I think it's cool that it's being played at Wrigley. Like, I'll stop being negative. It's cool that it's being played at Wrigley. It's a cool scene, everything like that. But, and like, you know, the Blues and the Blackhawks are, I'd say, somewhat rivals just in the sense of they hate each other because they're so close to each other, kind of thing.
Yeah. They've got a historic rivalry, but like, do that when they're both good.
Yeah. And even like last year, the Knights and the Kraken, like, that is not a rivalry, I don't think.
No.
Again, like, cool to be played in Seattle. Like, that's awesome. I get why they did that.
Yeah. I don't mind the Kraken being in it. I don't mind the Knights being in it, right?
No.
I think it would have been cooler if they did it on the Las Vegas Strip, but that, you know, there's reasons why they can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like,
well, in the wintertime, it gets cold there.
At least that's new teams, right?
Yeah.
Do like do like a Panthers Lightning matchup. Figure it out. Ooh. Right?
Yeah.
I know it doesn't get that cold in Tampa or in you know, Miami, right? It's like, well, Sunrise, in the Sunrise. Yeah. But it's like,
I mean, figure San out Jose something wasn't
cool and different.
At nighttime, like anything.
They did one in Anaheim.
Yeah.
They had the Anaheim LA game, and I'm pretty sure that was played somewhere in Anaheim.
Yeah.
You can figure it out. There's an outdoor rink every winter in San Jose.
Yeah. San Jose is not cold by any means, and I don't even think Seattle was that cold. I don't know. I wasn't there, but
yeah.
We'll move on. It's just, we're I just ranting really about
dumb.
Yeah, and it's
the same 10 teams every year. Nobody wants to see a game between the 20th ranked team and the 32nd. How many people like realistically? Yes, I know the Chicago Blackhawks and the St. Louis Blues have massive fan bases, right? How many people are tuning into that game?
I mean, not at the time that it's at, not many.
I guarantee you there's going to be on a normal game that's not in the Winter Classic. Even if it's the Winter Classic, there's going to be like Blackhawks and Blues fans that are not paying attention to that game at all. And whatever. Blackhawks are looking for another first overall pick.
Yeah, true. I think, honestly, it's probably better off as like a spectacle live event. And I think that's like, if we were there at the Winter Classic and got tickets to it, I really wouldn't have much. Yeah, next year.
NHL, hook us up.
Yeah, hook us up. I wouldn't have many bad things to say because it is definitely like a live event. Like, you got to be there kind of thing. Yeah. But I also remember watching these games like, you know, Pittsburgh against the Flyers, like stuff like that where they're.
Yeah.
And honestly, that would have been a good one to redo.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to think of any other ones that would be cool for this year in place of that. Honestly, like Red Wings and. Who would be good against the Red Wings? Maybe the Rangers. Well, the Red Wings
played 50 times. They played like every outdoor game.
Yeah, I get the you want to keep the original six, but
mix in. Why isn't as Minnesota? Minnesota's gotten one outdoor game. I think they play like a stadium series game.
Yeah, which those I don't count the same.
Fuck it, no. Make them play them against like the Oilers or something. The Oilers have gotten one, right? I think they get the Winter Classic last year. Is this a stadium series?
No, they got stadium series.
That was the Heritage Flames. Classic.
Oh, the Heritage that's Classic. That's right. I don't think they got four games. I don't think they do Canadian teams for the Winter Classic.
That's silly.
It is.
I find like, that I silly. Now, I'm going to side with the Canadians here. They're not going to see this because they're not going to watch our podcast, right?
Yeah.
But I'm about to not side with them in a minute. But Canadians have. Every single Canadian team, whether they're good or bad, minus maybe the Senators, has huge viewership numbers. If you just want like a viewership game, play Canadian teams.
Leafs and Red Wings.
They already did that. And that was one of the better stadium series games, or I think that was a Winter Classic game that we've seen a long time. Yeah.
Like that's my thing. Like if you guys are gonna stick to this Winter Classic thing, we want original six, then do some repeats. Like I don't care. If you gotta put Philly and Pittsburgh against each other, fire me up. I'm so down for that.
Has Vancouver gotten an outdoor game? I think they got one. They had those like maroon and tan jerseys. Do another one with them. They're a fun team to watch. Don't do the Blackhawks and the Blues. Boring.
Yeah.
This might be coming out of spite because I'm a big Sharks fan, but I think this game is.
Yeah. Dumb. But I also don't think like the Sharks having a Winter Classic game would be fun either. Like I want it to be snowing. Maybe it'll be snowing tomorrow. I want it to be snowing, and I want a good-ass game. And you guys may be watching this on Wednesday, and maybe it was a great game, and we just sound like idiots. But on on paper, this game does not look appealing at all, especially with the start time. Because 5 p.m. Eastern, that means like that is the furthest most point in the U.S. Everyone before that is still at work. It's 2 p.m. on the Pacific time. So, and like it's being played at 4 p.m. in Chicago, which is just kind of crazy.
I get why they don't play it later because it's New Year's Eve, but that's why it was always New Year's Day.
Exactly. And they don't want to fight.
It doesn't matter when they played it.
College football, which is fair, but also at the same time,
nobody's going to watch it.
But that's the thing. Like, it's sports. And like, if this is not like if, you know, a New Year's Day game is not fun. Say not Alabama, they're not in it. Texas and ASU, for example. Mm-hmm. If that's played in the morning, like I guarantee you it's going to be a blowout and someone's going to be watching it. So actually, we're competing with them right now because this is coming out New Year's morning.
We haven't seen the BSU game yet.
Yeah, not yet. Go Broncos. Go
Broncos.
Yeah. Fuck Penn State. Anyways, we're going to move on from the Winter Classic. What the fuck is that? Canada. Okay, we're gonna rant. We're gonna
get a piss off the Canadians again.
Again. But you know, we didn't do this. You got like Canada did this to themselves.
Yeah.
Canada at the World Juniors. Perennial team as always.
Mm-hmm. They're always a contender. They always will be. It doesn't matter.
Always will be. Not this year. They lost to Latvia in shootout. Goalie Leonards Felsberg, if I said that right, I don't know. He had 55 saves on 57 shots. He stood on his head. He was definitely the main factor for this team. It happens, you know, you run into a hot goalie and you can't really do much about it. But Latvia won in shootout, which is also a crazy thing. Yeah. Because regardless of what it is, like you lost in shootout to Latvia.
Yeah. That's No, Canada, okay. What the? No. Go ahead. Canada, what are you doing? So the U.S. lost to Finland. Was that yesterday? I want to say that was yesterday.
Yeah.
Right. Now, that's not a great look either. The U.S. and Canada are both perennial contenders, right? Every year, year in, year out. Obviously, the U.S. has the National Development Team Program, or National Team Development Program, pardon me, that they breed kind of a – they kind of breed these players for these this tournament, right? Where you have these guys who've been growing up playing together since they were 15, 16. They're, you know, 19, yeah. 20, and now they're all playing together. Canada, you can always just run with your best guys, right? Or pretty much their best guys, because they have such a wide field of players that you're going to have some of the best. You're going to have the best team, basically. You're playing a team that will probably have two NHL players.
Yeah.
Finland, losing to Finland ain't great either, right? And the U.S. lost in overtime to Finland. I want to say it was yesterday at the time of this recording, right? 4-3. Trey Augustine did not play fantastic. I actually watched that game. He did not play fantastic, the United States goalie. But they still lost. Losing to Finland and losing to Latvia are two wildly different things. Latvia, yes. I don't know. I think they meddled in the tournament like once, right? Finland's won it multiple times. Finland is a perennial contender. It's like, given these tournaments are kind of watered down with that Russia in them. Well, that's a different topic for a different day.
Again, we could do a whole episode on that.
We could do a whole 45-minute episode on that. Yeah. But I just find that ridiculous. Yeah, you got goalied, right? But you put up 55 shots. Like, how are you letting Latvia score more than you when they have, I think they had 27 shots? Latvia also won again today against Germany. So, honestly, good for Latvia. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's cool to see hockey growing in these places, which, yeah, Latvia's like, you've seen Latvian players in the NHL for a little bit now.
Yeah.
But it's not like the traditional hockey powerhouse that the U.S. or Canada is.
Yeah, especially Canada. It's their sport, supposedly.
It is your guys' sport, and Latvia took it from you. How do you feel?
Yeah.
By the way, the U.S. beat Latvia 5-1.
See,
then again, Canada beat Finland. So it's really just what's the worst loss to Finland and Latvia.
Yeah. You know what? Let the jury can decide that one. What you guys think is the worst loss.
Put it on Instagram because the jury will decide that Finland is somehow a worse loss than Canada or than Latvia.
You know, they just need to worry about their own shit because they have a tournament coming up that I think we both think they're going to lose in. Four Nations face-off, to be exact. Team Canada World Juniors, not a good mix, you know?
Canada, what happened?
Do we need James to make one of those videos? Damn, we should ask him. Another upset in a shootout we've got up next. UNLV, club men's hockey, ACHA, correct?
Yep. It's ACHA men's one.
Yeah. Beat the national champions, Denver University, in a shootout. Now, a couple things. I think his final score was like 6-5 or 7-6. 7-6. High scoring game.
I watched the whole recap on that.
What are your thoughts?
Yes. Denver outplayed them. They, much like Canada, Denver got goalied hard. So I forget the guy's name. Something Farman, the goalie for UNLV. He is a Division I transfer. So he played NCAA Division I hockey. He's very good. Very good hockey player. He put up, I think Denver had 60-something shots on him. And he kept up with both of, well, Denver's goalie Matt Davis got pulled after like 17 shots. It was like 11 shots, I think, because UNLV had 17 shots total. And then their backup goalie let in two goals off like six shots. So that was a classic goalieing game where it's just the goalie on UNLV stood on his freaking head. Hats off to that guy. But I will say, for what you'd expect, the first period and a half of that game was nothing like you would think. Like, UNLV was actually somewhat in the game. The shots were still atrocious, but like not what you'd think when you're talking about a club hockey team playing the national champion Division I hockey program, right? That you know, they beat the team with Macklin Celebrini, but with Will Smith, Gabe Perreault, like they beat those guys in the finals last year in the Frozen Four.
Yeah.
And you're talking about a club hockey team with a bunch of guys who are like, they played in the NAHL or other like junior A programs, at like some of them did. And then you have
good
like
hockey players.
Division I transfers. They're good hockey players, but not a single player on UNLV got an offer from Denver University to go play. And the biggest excuse I've seen online is Denver didn't have Zeev Bouyam because he's at the World Juniors, and so is their coach, right? And yes, Zeev Bouyam is one of the best players in college hockey, but you still have, you know, 18 other Division I hockey players there.
Exactly.
And you lost in a shootout. The shootout was crazy, too. The goalie for UNLV made two saves, and then the third shooter missed, like, he, like, backhanded it way over net, right?
Yeah.
Just some guy on UNLV came in and absolutely sniped one. It was like low glove. It was their captain. It's not some guy. I'm sure he played some higher level hockey than I did. But like, you're talking about Division I college hockey, the club team. He's some guy.
Yeah. Someone I saw on Twitter, someone was like, can someone explain this in NFL terms? And someone was like, this is honestly like an ECHL team beating an NHL team.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't want to discredit the kids on UNLV. They're great players, but I mean, this is two very different leagues of hockey, and you know, just everything about, like, Denver has a whole facility and like they have training, like they have so much, and you're missing your best player. You're missing your coach, which I think is, you know, a big factor in it, especially your head coach.
Next, I don't know about Zeev. How much is he going to be coaching?
That too.
Like,
you're playing
a club hockey team. You're just going to say, go out there and let's work on some things. Right.
Yeah.
And for most of the game, I will give Denver a whole lot of credit for like the last period and a half of the game. I want to say that they had like 30 shots in the third period. It was ridiculous. Cause at one point UNLV was up 5-1.
Oh my God. Really?
Yeah. So it was, I want to say it was 5-1 or 5-2 going into the third period. So Denver had a big comeback. They put up like 30 shots. It was ridiculous. A couple of the goals, UNLV's goalie made like 5 or 6 saves, and then they put one in because it's like he's making 5 saves within, you know, 10 seconds. It was ridiculous. Guy was nasty. That guy deserves another shot in D1, like genuinely. If you could do that on a team with a bunch of guys who played, you know, low-level juniors or didn't play juniors at all, what are you going to do with a bunch of guys with college offers in front of you?
Yeah, but, no, it's true.
Either way, that game was ridiculous. The shootout goal was nasty, and the fact that the goalie made 2 saves in the shootout on, you know, some of the best players in college hockey is kind of ridiculous.
No, it is, and that's funny. That's all you can really. It's just, I've seen it happen. I mean, I think ultimately, at the end of the day, they probably just. They weren't really expecting much, I don't think.
No. And they beat them 2 years ago, 10-0. I think it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And that was probably the same amount of effort beating them 10-0. So it's like, I mean, that's what you'd expect.
Yeah, right? True.
That's even better than I'd expect, to be honest. I'd expect it to be like well into the teens. I think they did beat them in the teens a few years back. But like, 10-0 isn't that bad if you're thinking about club hockey versus NCAA Division I.
No.
That's what I expect a D1 team to beat a D3 team.
Yeah. Yeah. So honestly, just round of applause for UNLV and Latvia. Big upsets this week. But moving back to the NHL, we're going to talk about this Calder race. It's heating up for sure.
Yep.
I think it will stay this razor thin for the rest of the season, assuming everyone stays healthy, praying that for everyone. first up, I'm going to name an honorable mention. I don't know if he's being talked about enough with these other three, but Dustin Wolf, you know, interviewed the guy, so a little biased, but he is rocking a 912 save percentage, 2.7 goals against average. He's doing great. And I think he'll, cause what they usually nominate four people, I think, at the awards.
Three at the awards ceremony.
Three. Okay. Four. He might get left off. Unless he keeps on this tear and someone falls off these next three guys, but one of them, so shout out to Dustin, but, Lane Hutson with 36 games played, 26 points, dude's got 24 assists, which is nuts. Mm-hmm. Matvei Michkov, 35 games played, leading with 29 points, 12 goals. And then we've got Macklin Celebrini, who's at 27 games played and 27 points. They are playing on Tuesday night, so this might be changed up a little bit. He'll probably be at 28 points and 28 games played. Mm-hmm. But they are both Matvei and Mac are both tied for rookies in goals, 12 and 12 apiece. And we had some discussion last time we talked about this group of kids, about Mac versus Matvei Michkov. And I think they're going to be, I mean, I think Bedard's going to be in that conversation too, but the future superstars of this league, I think are really starting to shine right now. Mac being at a point per game is insane. I want to say if he keeps up this pace, he'll be at 70 points because he missed 12 games. And that would put him higher than Austin Matthews' rookie year, who Austin Matthews had 69 points. So, and Austin Matthews played almost a full season. So,
put him higher than Connor McDavid, but he missed half the year his rookie season. So, yeah. I don't know if we really count that. I'm in my heart, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. but yeah, I mean, Mac, Matvei, Lane, what's your thoughts on them?
So I've seen a lot. There's a lot of discussion. These three guys, I think, are the front runners in most people's minds. Hats off to Dustin Wolf. There's other guys who've been doing fantastic. There's some Russian guy I've never heard of who's, I forget what his name is and what team he plays on, but I was looking at the rookie stats. I think it was 2 days ago. Doesn't really matter. These three guys are definitely the front runners. I think Michkov is getting stunted a little bit by his time on ice average. Obviously, playing for Tortorella, you're not going to be able to try and Michigan every game. And he's going to get mad at you for trying to Michigan every game.
Yep.
He's an old school coach, and that's how he does things, right? But he is averaging significantly less time on ice than both Celebrini and Lane Hutson. Celebrini's at just under 20 minutes a night. Lane Hudson's at like 22 minutes a night. Michkov's averaging 16 and a half, right?
Okay.
That being said, Michkov is still getting all the power play time he could ask for. I'm pretty sure he's on their first power play unit, and he's like the guy. Is 12 power play points so far this season in 35 games. So like he's still getting the opportunity. It's just he's not getting, how I see it is he's getting all the opportunity in the offensive zone. Obviously, there's some questions about his defensive reliability and defensive ability. And I think that's kind of stunting the time on ice because like they're not going to put him on the ice on a defensive zone draw. Whereas both Lane Hutson and Macklin Celebrini are going to be put on the ice in a defensive zone draw, right? Lane Hutson because he's a defenseman and Macklin Celebrini because he's the best defensive forward on the Sharks, even though he's 18. I do also find it interesting that two of these guys, well, it's not really that interesting, but Max 18, Michkov is 20, and Hutson is 20. So they both have a couple extra years under their belt. True. Obviously, they're both drafted, I believe, last season. Hutson was drafted in 2022. I just looked at it. But both those guys have at least a season under their belt playing you know, higher level hockey, or at least just extra hockey, you know?
Yeah. Mac did play in college, though.
Mac played in college, but he played in college at 17.
Yes, true.
He played his college season at 17.
Yeah, because Lane, would that mean that Lane had 2 years at BU?
I think he played, I'm looking at it right now because I don't want to get misquoted.
Yeah. So then, Michkov played in the KHL.
Yeah. So. Oh, I forgot. Lane Hudson and Macklin Celebrini were teammates at BU. Yeah. But he played pretty much the full season there and then played two games with the Canadiens last year.
Okay.
Which two games, he had 2 points in those two games. But it just comes down to that guy is 2 years older. He's 2 years more developed. Even though he's a smaller guy, he's not there for physicality. But it's 2 years more to develop yourself mentally and your physical abilities, right?
Yeah.
Whereas Celebrini's doing this as an 18-year-old. Michkov is the same thing. He's had 2 extra years to develop himself. He played pro last year in Russia. He played pro the last 2 years in Russia. Like, that's going to make a difference. Yeah. And I think the biggest factor that I'm seeing here is the fact that Macklin Celebrini is 18 years old. He's going to spend his entire rookie season at 18 years old. That's an adult. He's still a kid, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know how to do my own taxes at 18.
No, I
highly doubt Macklin Celebrini. I made this joke the last time we talked about it, but like, he's still a child and he's putting up numbers in the NHL.
Yeah.
He's
a point per game player in the NHL and he's 18 years old.
And he's effective. I just watched before this, there's a podcast I was watching. He has the most possession zone entries per game in the NHL, more than Connor McDavid and Nathan MacKinnon. It's like 9.5 to like 8.25.
Yeah. Right? And I think also with Macklin and, you know, the Sharks obviously are the 31st team in the NHL as of right now. But the Sharks, like, he has people around him, Will Smith being one of them. But I mean, also Lane Hudson has a pretty star-studded roster. Young star-studded roster around him. I think Mac has a
too.
Yeah, that is true. Like, they were Flyers aren't
a bad hockey team.
No, I just think I feel like Macklin's line mates that he plays with they're really, like, I guess this is more of a comparison to Bedard though, because Bedard, like, looking at Bedard and like who he has with him, pretty god awful. But at least Mac has some good talent around him. And I mean, Lane Hudson's the same way. 24 assists is damn impressive. The thing that annoys me though is that people like to say, oh, Lane Hudson is doing this as a defenseman.
Yeah.
We've had
per game defenseman in the last few years. Like, it's not,
he's a defenseman, but we saw Erik Karlsson for the Sharks. Would I classify him as a defenseman?
Nope.
No. He doesn't play on the other side of the puck or on the other side of the ice. Not to discredit Lane at all and what he is doing, but to use that argument and just saying like, oh, he's doing this as a defenseman. He is essentially the fourth forward on that line. He walks up blue line like no one else. He is a great player. But to use the he's doing this as a defenseman thing, well, guess what? Mac's doing this at 18. This kid, we were running around malls getting chased by security guards at 18, and this kid is putting up a point per game.
Yeah.
Now, there's a reason for that and why he is where he is and we're not. But, like, this call to race is going to be very tight. I mean, these are separated by, like, 2 points. And
yeah.
Only because Matvei, I think, played last night.
Yeah, he had a goal and an assist last night.
Yeah.
And he got more ice time last night. He got benched for like the entire third period a couple games ago.
Yeah.
And he had like 9 minutes of time on ice. Then last night he had like 17. I just looked at it. But it's just one of those things where it's like, you're going to have point per game defensemen.
Yeah.
Like, I can think of a few off the bat. You've got guys, well, Erik Karlsson, right? Put up, what was it, 100 points a couple seasons ago? Mm-hmm. Roman Josi. has been perennial. You know, he's around point per game a little bit more, a little bit less. And then the big three, you have Adam Fox, you have Quinn Hughes, you have Kale McCarr, right? Yep. When I think of those five guys, right, there's a time and a place for guys like that. The only one who really plays a whole lot of defense is Kale McCarr. And I think even that gets a little bit overinflated. Yeah.
He's and I would give Roman Yossi some flowers there.
I remember a couple years ago, or this might have been last year. I'm not a big advanced stat guy. I think those guys are nerds. I just watch the game, right? But I was looking at some advanced stats on Roman Yossi, and I love him. He's great. He's been great for my fantasy team. I've had him like three separate times. Yeah. He's been great every year. But he doesn't play against, like, back when they had Ekholm.
Yeah.
Back when the Preds had Ekholm, he was the guy who was playing against, like, top lines. And that's he wasn't fair. Playing with Roman Yossi. And that's not to take away from Roman Yossi, but he's just not a guy that I think of to play big defensive minutes, right?
Yeah.
And Lane Hutson, I think, is going to be another one of those guys. Like, he reminds me a lot of Quinn Hughes to watch. Mm-hmm. But Quinn Hughes doesn't play a whole lot of defense, right? And yes, he's going to be a great player, but like you're getting defensemen have, you know, a third of the game that they play, right? He's averaging 22 minutes of time on ice, playing a third of the game, which is slightly more than Macklin Celebrini, but they're on the ice in all sorts of situations. He's going to be on the ice in every defensive zone or offensive zone draw, right? Because who the hell else do they have? Mike Matheson? Probably not. I think you're going to pick Lane Hutson over him. He's getting all the opportunity in the world, right? And everything runs through the defense. So yes, you're going to see him get a lot of assists because he's the guy who's passing to, you know, Cole Caulfield, Nick Suzuki.
Yeah.
Like, yes, he's going to get those assists. He is nasty. I don't want this to be taken out of context and have me.
Yeah.
You know, no, quoted I mean, saying that Lane Hutson sucks because he's a defenseman and he's just another Kale McCarr. No, I'm not saying that, just another Kale McCarr. That'd be an awesome. Yeah. That's awesome, right?
Yeah, he's gonna be a great player. Another Kale McCarr is
I think Celebrini being a star two-way center in his first year is way more impressive as an 18-year-old in the league.
Yeah,
I think it's way more impressive.
I agree. I totally agree with you, and we're unbiased. Hence my background.
A little bit unbiased.
Yeah, you know. But also speaking of Macklin Celebrini, and he got some crazy information the other night. One of the reporters, I want to say for Hockey Night in Canada, decided to drop a bomb on him that his parents met at the Roxy. Now, I'm going to do little Google search on the Roxy.
I got an idea what it was through that video.
Yep, same. God, Google, fuck off. Canada. Okay, the Roxy. Live band. What I saw was that it is essentially a strip club. to be frank. and just the fact that I think it's more of like a club, but judging by his face, he was not too, not that he wasn't thrilled. I wouldn't say that, but he just wasn't like, okay, like it's not a strip club, but he just, to break the news like that, he knew that they met at like a club or something. He had said, he didn't know exactly where, and I'm sure what's worse is that he's heard all the stories of the Rock, like players going there and the shit that goes down. It's just why, like some of these, like you were telling me, like just some of these questions these people have or comments, you know, not to say that we're perfect. Because we definitely say some stupid shit, but well, we don't say to the player's face.
I would love to interview Macklin Celebrini. I think that'd be a great interview.
Oh yeah.
Have you ever watched a Jack Hughes interview with like the media?
Yeah.
I wish every player in the NHL was like that, because you just get some of these stupidest questions. I understand that you want to market the NHL as like more than just hockey, and that's been one of its biggest problems with growing over the last, you know, 20, 30 years, is guys are all just hockey, hockey, hockey. You don't get to see any of their personalities. And there's some great personalities in the NHL. I think Macklin Celebrini, Will Smith are both going to be two of those great personalities in the NHL. I've seen videos. That video, they look awesome together.
The video of them walking in and he was like, so funny. I was just like,
why? Why do you ask a question about it? I'm not saying they all have to be hockey related, right?
No.
But like, that's such a stupid, like, personal question that's going to get blasted out on the air. What? I don't even know how my parents, well, actually, I kind of do know how my parents met. I think they got introduced to each other by friends. But I just don't understand why you have to ask that and then blast that to everybody on, you know, national television. It doesn't make any sense. I think
Hockey
everybody
Night in Canada, mind you.
Hockey Night in Canada is national television, international television. Yeah. Everybody watches that. You're from the States. If you're watching a game, you're like, oh, it's Hockey Night in Canada. I'll turn on a hockey game. Why?
Yeah. I don't know. Don't get it. Yeah, I don't either. Yeah, I mean, I think obviously our angle, like if we were to have Macklin Celebrini on, which we will one day. But
hopefully. I'll wear his jersey.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You're like,
why is this guy who's older than me wearing my jersey?
Yeah. Yeah, that reminds me of that
grade school when I was born.
Have you seen that Chris D'Elia skit where he talks about people wearing jerseys? Mm-hmm. He was.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah, I know. I know you don't. But he says that if you are wearing another man's name on the back of your jersey, that player gets to fuck you after the game. That's his.
Hit me up, bro.
Hit me up, Meg. No. I don't. I think it's tough. I have a Macklin Celebrini jersey coming in, but
oh, it's going to get.
Yeah, I bought it off. Never mind.
Can't say that. Can't blast.
I bought it off NHL.com. But the maybe in a couple, like when I'm a little bit older, I'll feel a little weird wearing a kid that was born in 2010.
Yeah,
his jersey on my back. Might kid feel a little weird.
Years younger than me.
Yeah, right now it's like it's whatever, and like I see him as this. I mean, no, he's almost 10 years younger than us. Almost
six years younger than us.
Yeah. Okay.
Which, yeah, it's closer to 10 than zero, but
yeah, I mean, he's a year older than my brother. So yeah. Realistically, once we're all grown and stuff, it's like he's not really that far off from us.
I think when I'm like 50, I'll probably just buy a blank jersey, right? Because at that point, life moves so fast, right? You've experienced so many years. You're like, yeah, this guy will be gone in 4 years. Whatever, I'll just buy a blank one, right? But like for now, I don't know. I have a little bit of a jersey collection. I've got a few different of the Adidas jersey. I've got a few of the Adidas jerseys.
Yeah. My thing too is like, how do you, if a team, say we're older, and you want the new Sharks jersey, like say 2035 is a new Sharks jersey.
Yeah.
How do you buy? You could do a blank one. I'm not the bit. I have a blank retro one. One of the like older ones just because it was on sale. But there's a point to it where it's like, I don't really want a blank jersey on my back.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put my own name on it because I'm not five.
Hell no. That I have a problem with. Yeah. That I got a big problem
I did that
with.
When I was like five.
Well, when I see 40-year-old dudes walking around, and I like kind of understand it because you're like, you're a fan, you're part of the team, right? You know, if players played the game, they wouldn't play the game if there was nobody watching, right? Because they wouldn't get paid for it. So I get it. But at the same time, if you're a 40-year-old dude, you got your own name on the back of your jersey, it's a little questionable. Yeah.
Like you're not suiting up.
Yeah, no, you're not suiting up.
They're not going to give you a call.
The only acceptable time that I think when people get their own names on the back of jerseys is like when they do. I remember there was one a few years ago. I forget the guy's name, but he had some sort of disease and they brought him onto the ice and he like skated for the warm up and they gave him his own jersey and it had his name on it. I think that's okay. Right.
Yeah,
he was like a 25, 30-year-old guy, but like that's a whole lot different than you going online to NHLShop.com. Shout out. Sponsor us and plug it yourself on the back of your jersey. That's just a little weird to me.
But, yeah.
You know, different strokes for different folks.
Yeah. No, it's totally fair. To each your own, it's your own money.
Yeah.
But I will be funny, though. Yeah, I will be laughing at you on the inside. But one thing you and I, Alan, both agree on is finding obscure jerseys on people.
Yes, absolutely.
I was at Predators game 2023 season.
Yeah.
And there was a Nashville Predators Paul Kariya jersey that I saw. And like we sent it back to each other. We just try to think of like crazy jerseys.
Peter Forsberg, Nashville Predators.
Yeah.
Sonny, Colorado Avalanche. I think if you could get that. A Martin Brodeur St. Louis Blues jersey, that's probably the only Blues jersey I'd ever buy.
Yeah.
I think that shit's hilarious.
Gretzky Blues jersey.
Gretzky Blues. Gretzky Rangers isn't that weird because he plays final game. There's that picture of him.
Yeah, that iconic photo. What's going to be funny in like 10 years is a Patrick Kane New York Rangers jersey.
Yeah.
That one's going to be like, we're going to remember and be like, oh my God.
Yep. I love those kind of jerseys. There's been a few good Sharks. Like you get like a Mike Vernon Sharks jersey. That's just fucking weird.
Rafi Torres Sharks jersey.
I've been looking for one. So, listen, Rafi Torres, NHL superstar for the wrong reasons, right?
Yeah.
Everyone is like a true hockey fan, knows his name.
Yeah.
But at the same time, for all the wrong reasons. But I have had a search for the last 3 years to find like a legit Reebok Rafi Torres jersey. And I'm going to buy it the day I find it.
Yeah.
They're impossible to find. Nobody has any. And it's the most upsetting thing I've ever seen.
I don't think anyone had one when he was on the team, is why.
I would have had one if I had my own money at that point. I was like 11, but I was probably like 13.
Yeah.
But if I had $200 to sell a jersey, it would have been a Rafi Torres jersey. That guy was awesome. He was terrible, but he was awesome. I love that they brought him back when the Sharks released the Cali Finn jersey. They brought him specifically back for the promo.
Yeah.
so funny.
Yeah.
Wow. Cult classic. But, John Scott, Buffalo Sabres jersey. We need that.
Dude, John Scott one. John Scott All-Star jersey.
Oh, that'd be sick.
With the C on it. Yeah. That one would go for hundreds of dollars in a couple of years.
Oh, but, dude, I'd spend hundreds of dollars on that.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, everyone, make sure you go follow us on Instagram. You can keep up with the conversation and the clips and the comments. Save us. If you like us, you can save us from the Canadians.
Leave a hate comment. We'll talk about it.
Yeah. I actually – okay. Alan, I have some news to break to you.
Oh, is there more?
Podcasters.
Are we?
We are, because I have started to post on my TikTok our clips.
Mm-hmm.
I got paid 75 cents for our clip.
I better be getting cut of that. 37 and a half cents that.
Yeah. No, yeah. No.
Well, you do the editing. I'll take 25 cents.
Yeah. No. We're going to be I just want to try it out because I can get paid on TikTok as long as it doesn't get banned. So go follow my TikTok, Sean Deauville. You'll see some clips on there. Give us some of that money.
Is that just because you got that one video with a ton of views?
Yeah, that's all it was. You have to have like 10,000 followers and something like that. So go follow us there. You could help us pay for what we do. 75 cents worth.
Better takes.
Honestly, more money we make, the more. Honestly, no.
We can buy ChatGPT, right?
Yeah.
And then we can ask it what it thinks about hockey. And then we can just relay that information for all the Canadians out there, because they want us to have boring fucking takes and say, oh, yeah, Canada's going to win another international tournament. Fuck you.
No, you're not getting that. You're not getting that from us.
Put that on
TikTok. We're not. I won't. We're not professional. We never claim to be. We are two dudes that love hockey and love yapping about hockey. We
both have day jobs.
We do. So this is just for fun for us. Go follow us and everything. Subscribe if you're a new listener. We'll see you next week. We'll see what is on the table. I have a feeling in the next, probably by February, we'll do another, what's it called, Four Nations episode soon. Maybe a little bit more in depth.
I forgot about
Canada
something.
A little bit more. What?
Ovi. Real quick side note. Yep. Ovi Goal Tracker is back.
It is.
He scored, at the time of recording of this episode, he scored 2 goals in 2 games since he's been back. One was an empty netter, but guess what? They all count the same. Doesn't really matter.
I hate that. People are getting pissed, and I'm like, I love Wayne Gretzky, but the goalies didn't know how to butterfly when he was playing, and he played against – he was a great player. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're going to get pissed about empty netters, Wayne Gretzky could take a slap shot from the top of the circles and score because
– he had that one goal against the Blues or something where – no, that was Steve Yzerman. He had a goal against somebody where – I think it was against, like, the Flames where he took a slap shot from, like, the top of the zone on a rush. And it went in. And it seems like one of the greatest Gretzky goals ever. I'm like, that today, you get benched for doing that. That's ridiculous.
You get benched in beer league for that too.
Yeah, you get benched in beer league. Like if you don't score that goal, you're getting benched forever. You think Gretzky's getting benched for taking a slap shot at the point?
Well, he scored because they couldn't go down.
No.
Well, they'd fall on their knees.
Their gear was stupid and they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah. We're not discrediting Wayne Gretzky, by the way. Don't come.
I'm discrediting every goalie that played before the year 1990.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'd be good if they grew up in today's training. This is completely random. This was not on the podcast, on the episode agenda. But every goalie before like 1990, they'd probably be great if they, you know, grew up with today's training, if they grew up in this era. But like they're all terrible.
Every sport. Every sport, yeah, though. Like that's
Mario Lemieux was gross back then. He'd still be gross today.
Yeah. And I think Wayne Gretzky's brain, I think he would be gross as well.
Oh, absolutely. If he grew up with today's training. But like you look at the goalies and like they didn't know what the fuck they were doing. The average save percentage was like 850 in the 80s. That's terrible. It's awful.
Yeah.
That's anyways, I'm sure that'll get to make comments.
Maybe. Who cares? If you're listening to this point, you probably love us, so appreciate you being here.
Thanks,
Paul. And we will see. And we'll see. And Scott, you're a loyal listener. We love
Scott's
you.
Scott's a loyal listener. Shout out Scott Young. Follow him on Instagram. Shout out.
Yeah,
Scott Young. SCTTYNGK.
Yeah. And we'll see you guys next week. Peace.